Tropical forests are a rich and vibrant habitat. They are home to more than half of all the planet's species of plants and animals. Yet, though life flourishes in the hot, humid equatorial regions, competition for space there can be fierce. As levels of carbon dioxide increase, the dynamics of species competition can be upset and thrown out of whack. CO2 acts as a fertilizer for most plants, but new research shows that the woody vines or lianas that thrive in the tropics are particularly well-suited to a more carbon-rich environment. And what's good for the lianas is not necessarily good for slower-growing tropical trees. Oliver Phillips, professor of geography at the University of Leeds in the UK, explains how these vines or lianas are getting the upper hand.
They compete with trees directly, so they're hitching a ride to the canopy, if you like, on the back of trees, or the back of the carbon the trees are investing in wood. Lianas are doing it cheaply. They're getting up there. And then they're competing in terms of stopping light getting to the trees. So that slows down the growth of some of the trees. They're taking water out of the soil, of course. That's also not great if you're a tree and your roots happen to be nearby. And they also do, in a rather more subtle way, change the composition from the tree's viewpoint. So if you are a species of tree which has an architecture which is really vulnerable to liana infestation, you're likely to get those extra lianas in you. But if you happen to be, say, a palm, which doesn't have branches and it just goes straight up and manages to shed, clean its trunk efficiently by dropping down leaves, in a liana-rich world, you could actually have an extra advantage because all the trees around you are being smothered by lianas and you can get through because you've got special liana-resistant techniques. So if you think about how liana increase is affecting the forest, it's affecting the carbon storage, but it's also affecting the kinds of trees which grow.
So here we are with about 40% more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than we had 150 or so years ago. And that's like, you know, fertilizer, I guess, in some respects for these vines. But what about the trees? Don't they also metabolize all this extra carbon dioxide and grow faster?
You're right, Steve. We think they do. We think at a physiological level, in essence, almost every plant should be benefiting from this extra CO2 in the air. Now, lianas are, because they're getting this free ride to the canopy, these are the plants which will take special advantage of those extra resources. That said, we've got evidence also that trees in the Amazon have been growing faster, for example, in the 1990s than they did in the 1980s. You know, there's a good theory to support the fact that that's probably partly induced by extra CO2 as well.
So how long do tropical trees live on average, do you think?
Well, that's a good question, a difficult one to answer. But on average, one would say between 50 and 100 years, you know, surprisingly little. There's probably a few really big old guys who get to about 500 years. But most of the system is quite fast.
Tropical forests are usually a net sink for carbon, that is, they soak carbon up out of the atmosphere. But what do you think is the capacity for forests or individual trees to store excess carbon dioxide? What kind of limits might there be?
Well, the limits could be set partly by climate itself. So we think CO2 is fertilizing trees, helping them to grow faster, and that, in a carbon sense, is quotes, a good thing, taking more CO2 out of the atmosphere. But of course, that same carbon dioxide, which is fertilizing trees, is also changing the climate. And you know, in the Amazon in the last few years, there's been a series of intense droughts. Those droughts have tended to kill more trees than were dying before. So we think what we're starting to see is a higher level of drought and possibly higher temperatures in the Amazon killing the bigger trees. Now, that process then, accelerated mortality, if you like, is starting to counteract the accelerated growth, which is driven by the CO2, so that the mortality rate could increase beyond the growth rate. And if that were to be the case, then instead of seeing a carbon sink, which is what we've been measuring in the Amazon for decades now, in the future we could actually see the system becoming a carbon source.
Let's do a little math here in terms of carbon sequestration. So if trees sequester more carbon than vines do, but vines are taking over, what does that mean at the end of the day?
The net impact of all that is CO2 is benefiting the whole system in terms of carbon storage, but lianas are knocking that down about 20% lower than it would be if they weren't there. And they're doing that by suppressing some of the extra growth that trees would be doing and killing some extra trees.
So what you're saying is that as the vines spread, then there's perhaps 20% less carbon sequestration in the tropical forest.
Well, yeah, there's about 20% less than there would be if they weren't there.
Now, another change in tropical forest dynamics is this notion that some species of lowland rainforest trees are beginning to migrate up mountainsides. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, there's been a couple of studies now, one in the Andes in South America and one in Costa Rica. What they've done is they've looked at permanent plots arrayed along an elevational gradient, and then they've asked, how has the composition of those plots changed through time? The suggestion is that at any one place along that gradient, you're tending to see new plants which are coming in, so the new recruits into the forest tend to be from the warmer, lower end of the spectrum. And the trees which are dying tend to be those which favor cooler, higher altitudes. So the trees do appear to be responding to climate change. The big question is whether they can do it fast enough, and in particular, whether they can do it fast enough, given that actually when one goes to the tropics and looks at these mountainsides, you often find, rather having a continuous forest, there may be big agricultural fields in the way. So the real challenge for species is not just to be able to move, but also, in fact, to be able to jump over these fragmented landscapes and find, in essence, their preferred climate of the future.
Of course, a mountain is in the shape of a cone, so the further up you go, generally there's less and less area. That means that there's limited space for migrating species. What does that mean for the possible extinction of some species as temperatures warm?
Well, you're absolutely right. The space declines as you go up a mountain, and that means that those species which need to move up, and many of them, will find themselves increasingly confined to smaller and smaller areas. So even if they're able to track that temperature change, their population is likely to decline anyway. And in particular, when you think about, you know, how do trees move up the hill, they obviously don't walk, they don't fly. They get up the hill by seed dispersal. And that requires, typically in the tropics, an animal to eat their seed and potentially to defecate it out somewhere else. So we need to protect the animals if we want to save the plants.
Oliver Phillips is a professor of geography at the University of Leeds in the UK. Thanks so much, Professor, for taking this time.
Thank you very much to you.